You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Now, Scott, I spoke to you off air and asked you to get a wire coat hanger. And I asked you to insert one end of the wire coat hanger in your right cheek and the other in your left cheek to see if it would fit. And I'm betting there was room to spare with the smile
exactly
on your face.
I what you're talking about. Oh, man, that smile is just as good as gold. Good as gold.
Isn't it fantastic news? I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, on the one hand, it is fantastic. On the other hand, you're beset with worries because it is so fantastic and it just doesn't look real to me. I mean, I looked at my screen. It was 4220 a little while ago. Obviously, it's churning around that 4200 level. But these are levels you could never have predicted or hoped for, Skulk.
No, I mean, I've been, you know, verbally positive on the gold price for many, many years. So there's no doubt. But I mean, this is just crazy. I mean, this is now bordering ludicrous. I mean, because you know, we had this conversation exactly a week ago where we sort of had a similar, not a coat hanger intro, but a very similar intro where we went like, can you believe it? Gold just ran through $4,000.
Yeah.
I mean, now we're talking about $4,200. I mean, that's 5%, another 5% in 1 week. I mean, if you look at the levels that we've seen in the beginning of September, we were trading $3,500 per ounce. If we take the clock back to the 1st of January, you'll be talking about $2,500 per ounce. I mean, so yeah, you need to be in it to win it, and I think I've looked at a graph earlier today where they plot the current movement of the gold price, and they look at the previous massive spike that we've seen something like 30, 40 years ago, and the one thing is when gold move, don't be in too much of a rush to call tops on this one, because you know usually when something like this happens it can go a hell of a lot higher.
There's two things I would say to you, Skulk. The first is that a German friend of mine was watching German TV, and she phoned me up and she said, "I've just liquidated my savings, and I'm putting it into gold."
Oh no!
Big ring of a bell, a huge bell, and the other thing is, it hasn't happened yet. But if there is any indication from a layman's point of view, that's me, and not an expert like you, when the shares don't match the actual rise in the price of gold. So let's say gold goes to 4,500, but the shares stay stable or even go down from the level they were when they were 4,250, when the gold was 4,250 or something. That would be the time for me to say, no, that's it. Thank you very much. Is that it? It's called a non-confirmation, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely a non-confirmation. All the secretaries now, but they usually say when the secretaries start buying equities, that's the time where that's the closest time till we see a crash in the market. Now, yeah, it is. There was a lot of good reasons why gold should have moved over $2,000 and into the $2,000 levels.
And on that note, do you remember that day I sent you? I think it was March the 17th, 2022. I sent you a screenshot of the trading the trading market, live trading market in gold, and it was a bid of 998.5, offer of 1998.5 was the bid, 1999.3 was the offer or something, and we got so excited because it was just about to go through 2,000. And now look at it. We're still talking about this blasted thing.
It's 3 years ago, Lindsay. And I think more importantly, I could still remember that day as well, because I'm not going to look for it now, but I remember I still published a tweet, tongue in the cheek, just stating, do you remember when gold was still trading below $2,000? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And now it's just crazy to think. I mean, it was a joke that day. But I mean, yeah, we're sitting 3 years ago, and I wanna ask you, can you still remember when gold was still trading below $2,000?
I mean, I can remember when gold was trading at $250 an ounce, but that's another story. I've got another story for you now, and you probably know it, but it's very interesting. You're more of an accountant-leaning person than I am. How much gold does the US have in its reserves? Have you any idea? Give us a rough figure. No, don't give me a rough figure because you're going to be way out. I'll tell you, it's got 261.5 million ounces. I mean, you've seen the film Goldfinger, the James Bond film, where he was trying to knock off Fort Knox, which is where a lot of the gold is kept underground, and it's encircled by troops 24 hours a day. But the important thing here is that the book entry for gold is from 1973, and it hasn't been changed in all these decades, $42.22 per ounce. So if Trump ever finds this out, I mean, he's too stupid to know it, but if he works out that gold at 4,000 is very different, it's 100 times different to what the gold is valued at, he could probably say, I'm going to value it at 4,000. Therefore, I'll be the president that made gold go up from, I don't know how many billion it is, to just about $1 trillion worth they've got. And you go from there. But the book entry is obviously important to the Treasury. What would happen if they actually valued it at real prices? What would it mean for the United States and indeed the world?
I think there's quite a lot to digest what you just mentioned. But I think, you know, one thing that I think it's important to note is that the U.S., they haven't increased their gold in decades.
Yeah.
We know Bank of England, they look really bad.
Dumb
I think
pond.
They must be one of the only central banks that's actually reduced their gold reserves over the past, let's call it, 25 years. And man, oh man, can you still remember what levels they sold
the last couple of tons, or the last 200,000 ounces or so, were sold by a Scottish fella. He goes by the name of Gordon Brown. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer at the time, and then went on to become Prime Minister. I think it was $252.20, and everyone waited for that last bit. They flagged it. They said, "We're selling all our gold. We've got X amount left," and all the traders were licking their lips and rubbing their hands together and saying, right, Gordon Brown's out. And they just bought it from then on in. That was the signal for the turn in the gold price. Gordon Brown, bless him. Anyway, just to go on, you're still long, and are you still bullish?
Yeah, so I mean, when you look at the United Kingdom, they had just shy of 500 tons, so about 300, let's call it 480 tons back then. They're currently sitting with reserves, you know, 310 tons.
That is shameful.
That is crazy. That is crazy. But to your point again, United States exactly the same. When we look at the current reserves for what's the second? Second largest is Russia. I'm lying. There's going to be France but I mean, if you look at something like China, they're currently sitting with 2,279 tons gold. In 2000, China was sitting with 395
look
tons.
At that. Yeah, they've just been accumulating all the time.
Exactly.
They're very clever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Russia's probably been drawing down in order to pay for the war in Ukraine. That's what I think. I know they've been doing that with platinum group metals. But anyway, central banks have been buying, and normally, in normal geopolitical circumstances, unless there's something disastrous going on with an economy, they're normally quite strong holders. So in other words, if they buy it at 4,000, they're not going to be selling it at 4,500. They'll hold on.
But look at the effect that it had, for instance, on the South African market. We had an interesting conversation today, and I'll do some name dropping. We had a conversation with old Cornelius Zimmermann. He's one of the fund managers, the fund manager of the Fairtree Global Emerging Market Fund.
Yeah.
And we're talking about losing alpha, gaining alpha. And I said, well you guys were pretty pretty overweight in gold. But interesting, so two years ago, I want to say two could be a little bit longer. It could be that that's called a 2022. The weight within the all share, gold shares. Remember at that stage, Sibanye-Stillwater, I mean, not even 10% of the profits were made out of from gold mining. Today it's just shy of 50%. It's 47, 48% mm-hmm. of the profits is made out of gold. But so we didn't count Sibanye-Stillwater as a gold counter back then. So there was only five gold counters: Swiftsure, Anglo Gold, Goldfields, Harmony, Durban Rediputi, Pan African Resources. They didn't make up 4% of the JSE
and now
total weight. Today, as we sit here, it's over 16%. That's just the gold counters. If you turn back,
and that's the market capitalization of the
stocks.
That's
the market capitalization within the JSE All Share. If you buy the JSE All Share in some form of ETF, like for instance Satrix Allsy, 16% of your holding of your investment will be invested in five gold mines. 16%. If you exactly a year ago, if you invested in PGMs, now that's the likes of the Valterras, old Anglo American Platinum, Impala Platinum, and Northern Platinum, that didn't make up. It was just over 2%. Today, as we sit here, the total weight of those three counters is now 8%. So, if you combine the likes of your PGM counters and your gold counters, it's now getting very, very close to a quarter of the total JSE. That's just precious metals, and that's just pretty much coming out of seven counters. It's eight counters.
It's exciting in many ways, isn't it? Because it's like the old days. But on the other hand, it's a little. It leaves the market a little bit vulnerable should there be a bit of a knockoff.
Yeah. No, it's definitely worrying because I mean the words that I heard the most over today's conversation were that word's called concentration risk. Suddenly we're sitting with a bit of concentration risk in the JSE as well. Here's a very interesting one, and we've often had this conversation, Lindsay, where we discuss the different indices.
Yes. We
back then we talked about what's the difference between the JSE, Cap Swix or Cap All Share compared to the JSE normal All Share, and that's just that they cap certain companies, that you don't have a scenario like, for instance, 6 years ago, where a Naspers suddenly makes up more than 20% of your total index. And that's why they created this. But if you look at the return profile of both these indices, you would note that it's really been very, very close in terms of performances. So in dollar terms, if you look at it year to date, the dollar return for the JSE is now way over 36, closer to 40%. Then you get something called the MSCI South African Index. Now,
this is why, by the way, Skalk, I couldn't manage to carry on a career in financial services. It just became too complicated. But go on.
Yeah. So you had your what we call the JSE or the MSCI South Africa. Now, whenever you get an index, a lot of people will be very well known, on what is the MSCI World or MSCI All Country World. There's a little bit of a lesson. When somebody says they follow the MSCI World, you know that you've got no exposure to any emerging markets. It's literally you just invested in developed markets. When it's got that All Country World in front of it, then it's the developed markets or the MSCI World with emerging markets. And that accounted for about, let's call it 15% of the total MSCI All Country World is the emerging markets, and the remaining 85% will be developed markets. So then how do you get classified to become part of the MSCI index? So if that specific company is listed in South Africa, because remember, if you invest in the likes of British American Tobacco Company, although we got a secondary listing in South Africa, the primary listing is in the UK. So that company will form part of the MSCI UK, not South Africa.
Okay, because of its a London listing, that takes precedent over the Johannesburg listing.
That's it, exactly. And so if you invest in for instance, in Richemont is although it's again got its listing in South Africa, its primary listing is in Switzerland. So that will form part of the MSCI Switzerland. So when somebody invests in the MSCI South Africa, that will be your pure South African companies. That will be your Naspers, because it's still got its primary listing in South Africa. That will be your South African banks. So just to get – and a lot of people will usually say that's more reflective of your SA Inc. type of stocks, although it's a little bit difficult to say that, but that is sort of your SA Inc. stocks. Do you want to take a guess, year to date, what the MSCI South Africa is currently what it's done year to date in dollar terms?
Year to date in dollar terms? Gosh, I don't know, Scalp, 27%. There's that laugh again. There's that coat hanger coming in.
You should try harder. it's currently 65%.
Not bad.
In dollar terms, year to date.
Dollars terms, crikey. But then again, in rand terms, it'll be less than that because the rand's been stronger against the dollar.
Slightly less. But I mean, it just showing you what our pure South African counters has done this year. And yes, it is. Remember, your Impala Platinum's got its main listing in South Africa. Your Durban Roodepoort Deep, your Northern Platinum. Those all is companies.
This is all hindsight, Skunk. This is all hindsight. This is where you're going to earn your money. I was talking to a fund manager yesterday, very, very good fund manager as well, a woman who talks her mind. And I said, what differentiates your fund from the rest? Because she outstrips everybody. And she said, I'm a good seller. And that was the only thing she said about being differentiated from the herd, selling properly. She said, we're great, good buyers. Anyone can buy. Yeah, you buy gold because it's doing so well. I'm a buyer. You don't get many people saying, gosh, he or she's a good seller. That's my lesson of the day. So tell us, where's it going? When are you selling?
Where am I selling gold?
Yeah, when are you selling gold? Come on now. So currently,
I don't want to sound like a typical economist. They always say you need to find yourself a one-handed economist. Economists always, they always say, on the one hand, we see interest rates going up.
It's called political correctness. It's called corporate governance. But anyway, go on.
But I mean, if I'm going to be a one-handed portfolio manager, I do think that gold is currently overvalued. I do think it's done a little bit too much too quickly. Because I mean, we've seen a massive retracement. There's a lot of people that says, well, if we currently look at all the gold reserves available in the world, and still need to attach some sort of valuation of all the money that's been printed, and a gold can pretty much go to $100,000 per ounce. I'm not in that court. We've gone beyond that, but gold has done a lot. I'm always worried when the likes of the Goldman Sachs, like for instance last week, came out and say, well, they now increased their forecast for gold.
So brave of them. I mean, they said it would be 4,000 in the first quarter of 2026. It goes to 4,000 2 days later. And then they say, it's going to go here next. I'd love to get a seven-figure figure just to state the obvious, which is what these people do a lot of the time. And I'm, of course, being jealous and generalistic about it. Anyway, Scott, go on. Sorry. Goldman Sachs.
So they're calling it $4,009, and then I always get a bit worried. And it's like you mentioned, if I look at media, if I look at social media, and if I look at, I get very similar vibes that I've actually got a year or so ago when people, when Bitcoin just went, you know, through the $100,000 mark, and people were saying, well, this is only the beginning. It's now going to go to $1 million on Bitcoin. That's where I get a little bit worried. But remember, and we've had this conversation, I'm still invested in the gold mines. And when you've got a mine, like, for instance, the likes of a Gold Fields, they're all in cost. That is what it costs them to go down those mines, to mine these
dig
gold.
Dig it out the ground, in other words.
Yes, that's still all in cost. They're mining this for anything between $1,700, and they haven't reached 2,000. So it's a, let's call it $2,000 per ounce. The longer that the gold price stay at these current levels, these mines are printing money.
They've got 120% margins. It's extraordinary exactly. What's going on. Yeah.
So suddenly the gold mines, that's usually been something you trade, not invest in, is suddenly a great company to be invested in, because they're extremely cash flow positive. They don't have any debt on their balance sheets. So, yes, as long as the gold price stay at these levels, I'm happy. I'm happy to hold my investment in gold, because gold, they actually still doing really, really well.
Well, I hope you're just ready for something that happens in the future, which will happen, of course. It is going to happen. History dictates it happens. It never goes up in a straight line. Nothing is parabolic as this anyway. So just be ready. I know you always are, and you'll be the first or second one to press the sell button as soon as that gold price tips over, which it will one day. Not yet, though. Okay, Scout, we've talked about the exciting stuff. Let's get the boring stuff out of the way now. Karooooo's numbers came out from the JSE today. Share price down around about 10%. There was some sort of corporate activity at AECI, and that share price down 8.5%. Do you want to talk about either of those briefly?
AECI, we can chat about. Karooooo, I always struggle because that's not the way you spell the Karooooo.
Exactly. It's got five O's, hasn't it? Something like that.
I struggle to read any trading statements or financial statements when they spell Karooooo with five O's. So, yeah.
I agree. So they can go and stop being stupid and spell it properly, and then we'll have a look at it. AECI now, bang, bang.
Now all the listeners will remember Karooooo is the one with the five O's. Mm. Yeah, AECI, the CEO now resigned. He stepped down as CEO. He's been CEO for, and he stated that it's for personal and family reasons. And people know this is a company that I do like, yes. But this is one of those that's just been such a frustration for me, because although it's definitely a value stock, it's a company that's been well managed over the years, and it's a company that's looking, you know, financially healthy. They've been selling off some of these offshore companies that they had, so the company is looking, I would say, financially very, very sound. But yeah, when a CEO surprised the market by stepping down or noting that he's going to step down, people usually ask the questions, why? Why?
Personal reasons. Why not? I mean, sometimes you feel like stepping down, don't you, and going and sitting with a cool something in your hand and looking out and saying, goodness me, I'll miss gold, but God, goodness me, it's served me well. You'd like to do that, surely, one day.
Correct, and he's been in that position or on the leadership position for over 18 years. So, I mean, it's someone along the line, you just know it is time. But market did not like that at all, and no. The share price that was down 8.8% today on the news.
Okay, I know it's time to get on with the markets because we've been jabbering on for far too long. Dollar rand is 17.32, a little bit of risk off got the rand a little bit weaker. The dollar, though, is 0.4% down against the rand. So overnight, the rand was weaker than it is. British pound against the rand, 23.20. Euro rand back above 20, 20.15. Euro dollar is 116.35. That's a euro that's about a quarter of a percent higher against the greenback. And British pound against the US dollar is 133.95. Over to gold, 4,200 on the noggin. It's $59 up or 1.4%. Platinum up 22 to 16.99. 16.99. Is 1,700 a big number? I'll look on my graph later on. The palladium price is slipping relative to platinum. It's only up $10 an ounce to $15.99 per ounce. Okay, let's move to other commodities now. The oil price is all over the place in the last couple of months. And I think it was on... Was it on Monday? No, it was on Friday. It was down about 5%. Today, it's down 0.4%. That's Brent crude, $62.02 a barrel. West Texas crude, $58.42, which is down 0.3%. And the copper price has... it got very close to a year high the other day, a real high anyway, because it had a couple of spikes which were to be taken off the graph. But anyway, it's $4.97 a pound at the moment, was $5.20 a pound a couple of days ago. That's commodities. S&P 500, after some good bank results, 67.42, up 0.8%. The US 10-year bond price, 4.01%, just about to break its big figure from 4 to 3. The South African 10-year bond is maybe going to go from 9 to 8. It's 9.04 at the moment. Really good performances in bonds. You could have bought gold, you could have bought bonds, you could have bought Bitcoin. I mean, you could have bought the stock market. Four things all going up together. I've never seen that, Skulk. Bitcoin, $111,180 per coin. That's down 1.5%, underperforming. I'm exhausted after all that. Do you hear what I just said, Skulk? Four asset classes that don't always go in the same direction, going in the same direction. Bonds, stocks, yeah. Gold. And let's leave out Bitcoin because it wasn't there during the good old days. Three in a row. That's ridiculous.
There we go. You could have written all those asset classes on a piece of paper, put it in a dartboard, throw the dart, and you would have made money. Doesn't matter which and where it landed. But, yeah, there's definitely some optimism today from a U.S. point of view. I mean, you and I have been talking about it Friday. It was just as if all hell broke loose. Hmm. I mean... Trump went like, I'm going to be really tough on China. I'm going to increase their tariffs and it's going to be beautiful.
I love it when he says, I don't want to hurt China. I want China to do well. I've got a great relationship with President Xi. And then he says, by the way, 100% on everything. He's such a nitwit, that man.
And then I think 24 hours, because then Friday, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
We had markets, and I was sort of going like, yes, at last, because I have some cash that I need to deploy. And it's just tough to deploy it in a market environment that's just, as you mentioned, where everything just goes up. There's no specific asset class that's standing out as this is a great opportunity. And markets retraced. And 24 hours later, he tweeted. He didn't even come out with some statement. He tweeted. He says, no, don't worry. China will be okay. China will be fine.
The taco's back. People forgot about the taco factor. Trump always chickens out, in other words. But he chickened out again. But this time, it only took him 12 hours to chicken out.
Literally 12 hours. And how the markets reacted. So the model, the story again, reiterated to me, was currently the political decision, specifically in the U.S., is now being dictated by market movements. Hmm. I mean, I'm 100%. Because we've seen it. We've seen it in April Liberation Day speech where he's done that. And it was just like it was tough. Man... Are we going to take you to town on tariffs? And then markets got very, very close to really correcting. I think it did in some senses.
S&P was down 17%, I think, in 3 days.
There we go. So it was more, there was a proper correction. And then and he backed down. So clearly markets are, you know, dictating, you know, the political decisions. But I think today it's more, I think, the Powell show. I mean, Powell did come out, and it's funny how the market actually took what he said as.
What has he said, quote, please? Unquote. Tell us what he said.
He actually came out and he said that there's no real indication that things are changing in terms of the U.S. economy. But he just said, but cautioned that a notably softer labor market is emerging. And we've seen it in some of these data releases recently.
Yeah, we haven't got the data anymore because the government's shut down. But as soon as the government comes out, we might get the non-farm payrolls and we might get the ADP numbers as
correct.
Well. As, and we also might be able to go to Yosemite National Park to have a look at the animals. Everything's closed down in America. It's just
no, exactly. It's still government shutdown. But I mean, what I want to get to is the market took his, let's call it, his caution towards a notably softer labor market as dovish, and the CME FedWatch tool suddenly went from it was positive, but now as we sit here, 97% probability that we'll see a rate cut again on the 10th of December.
Okay.
So, well, here we go.
Don't bet against that one. It's the second one after that that is the important one. What have we got? September and December. But anyway, Skulk, I'm getting thirsty, so let's get on to the moves up and down on the JSE. MTN, the big winner today, up 8%. Richemont up 5.5%. Harmony, 4.5%. Advotech, a 3.6% gainer. And Capitec up 3.2%. Downside. ACI is not on my screen, but I'm going to say 8.8% down for that one. Karoo, though, down 9.8%. That was a nervous laugh, by the way. Karoo with 5-0s shareholders. Growthpoint down nearly 6%. AVI down 4.5%. Fortress B down 4.4%. Nepi Rockcastle down 2.3%. Property stocks in there, Skulk. Any ex-divs you should tell me about?
Yeah. Fortress and Growthpoint, both ex-div stories for today.
Okay, good, because that would have sort of soured your gold euphoria a little bit. Any other stocks that you've got that I didn't mention?
No, I think you've mentioned it all. We talked about the winners. We talked about the losers.
Good. Yeah. So give us the closing JSE indices, if you would.
So the JSE today closed at 111,635 points. I mean, it takes me longer to read the market. And I think they should have a 10 for 1 split or something like that. And that's up 69 basis points for today. Most of the gainers came from the industrial side. That was up 1.2%, while resources were up again 0.63%. Financials were slightly in the green, 0.2%. But as mentioned, the property stocks did retrace a little bit today, down 2.1%. We look at the value trade, not a bad day at all. We've surpassed 30 billion today,
crikey.
32 billion. Traded on the JSE today. I mean, it's been solid, Lindsay. I mean, you and I have often had these conversations on the value traded on the market. I mean, this is now the second time this week alone where we've surpassed the 32 billion trade. And I think when I look back past, let's call it five trading days, the average for the past five trading days was just shy of 29 billion.
Okay, so just finally, because we're running over time, JSE Limited, what's it done today and what has it done over the last month or so, if you would? Because these numbers you're talking about, 32 billion, must be filtering through to the numbers for the JSE itself.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question that you're having there, because I mean, we know that Dr. Leila Faree, she's now announced that she's going to step down as the CEO of the JSE, and immediately I went and said, well, she started a tenure as a CEO on the 1st of October 2019, and over that period, just for interest sake, the JSE all share has improved or has grown by 153%. So yeah, that will be
she
be
can't
good.
Take that's credit for that. But where's the JSE Limited? That's the one.
JSE, however, over that same period has only grown 57%. So it's a 8% growth per annum versus the JSE's growth by 17%. And we know why. We know that we've only seen volumes pick up over the past few months. And yeah, hopefully that will turn.
Yeah,
I do think
that
there might be some opportunity.
Yeah.
That might be something to look at, definitely.
Okay, great. We'll keep an eye on that for the remainder of this quarter. Meanwhile, Skalk, we'll reconvene this time next week. And where will the gold price be? Should we have a guess? No. Let's not spoil it. Let's not get into that guessing game and who got it right, who got it wrong, because we're both going to get it wrong. We know that. Skalk, thank you very much for your time.
When we were young, I just want to say, when we were young, we're getting old, Lindsay. When we were young, there would have been a black label bet on this every day of the week, for sure. Now we're getting old. Now we don't want to. We don't want to even guess.
Do you know what? I don't need to guess what the alcohol, the ABV of a black label is. It's 5.5%, and it's delicious as well. And it's relatively cheap, and it's the beer of the people in South Africa. And that was my beer of choice, of course. You know what my beer of choice is now? Well, you wouldn't know. It's called Warsteiner. It's a fine beer, but it's a non-alcoholic beer. But I've sort of beat the system, because if you look at the back, it says less than 0.5%. So I've worked out if I drink 632 of them, I can get pissed, which is great. But
there's something to work
I found work a towards. Loophole, Skalk. Skalkler is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.